chapter 11. This is going to be part one, because we're going to get through two verses, right? A lot of interesting stuff is going to happen tonight, because I'm going to wreck everybody's tradition. I'm going to wreck tradition of religion tonight. We're just going to take it and disprove it all together. And it's really sad when you think about it. When you look at what they have done with the historical sites over in Jerusalem, there's no backing to any of them, and they're all commercialized. And so I think that's what makes the Bible and the way God works so amazing, right? The world wants to build these things and worship these things. All along, it never happened there. And we're gonna hopefully show you that tonight. These are all just obviously opinions. But we're definitely going to look at where the third temple will be built. Okay? Very important. That's the first two verses. He is given a measuring rod to measure out the temple, and this would be the third temple. We'll get into it. And then the rest of the chapter is all about the two witnesses, which is another really fascinating story, but we'll get to that next week. There's no way we're going to get to it tonight because we've got way too much stuff. So let's pray and get right in. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you would just be with us and bless us. The Bible tells us that we would be blessed if we read and hear and understand the words of this prophecy. And Lord, as we talk about these things, may it not give us a spirit of fear, because we're told several times in the Bible to fear not. We shouldn't be afraid because we know what's happening. We see the game plan of the enemy, and we stand strong in it. But a lot of these things that are coming to pass are going to really test where people are at, really to see if you're a true Christian or not. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just speak to us tonight, encourage us, and all this stuff should be there to bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, quick little outline overview of Revelation chapter 11. We've got 1 and 2, the measuring of the temple. John is given a reed to measure the temple of God, the altar, and the worshipers. The outer court is left out and given to the Gentiles. Then there's the two witnesses, which makes up the rest of the chapter. The two witnesses, they prophesy for 1,260 days. Remember, those two time stamps are important. We see those referred to over and over again. And they are in sackcloth. They are described as the two olive trees and the two lampstands before God. So there's a hint as to who they are. And they have the power to shut the sky, turn the water to blood, strike the earth with plagues. There's another hint as to who they are. They will continue their ministry that they did here previously. Then you're going to have the two witnesses and their death from the beast, or the beast from the abyss kills them, and their bodies lay in the street. And then there's actually a big party over their bodies, and then they're resurrected, and then they ascend to heaven. This, by the way, is a rapture. So when people say, I believe in mid-trib rapture, you can say, I do too. I believe it's the two witnesses, right? So you always got to find out who they're talking about, which people group they're talking about. They are called up into heaven in a white or cloud while their enemies watch. So they're caught up. That's the rapture. Then we have a great earthquake. A severe earthquake strikes and a tenth of the city collapses. 7,000 people die. The survivors give glory to God, and that's the second woe that is past. And the third woe is coming quickly, and the third woe is the seventh trumpet. And we close out this chapter with the seventh trumpet being sounded. Okay. So let's take a quick look at the temple, because that's what we're really talking about tonight. Let's turn to Revelation 11, and we'll read 1 and 2. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread on the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Okay, so which temple is he talking about? I mean, obviously there's no temple there today. Okay, so the very first temple would have been Solomon's temple. This is the one that David wanted to create, but he was told he couldn't because he was a man of war. And he says, okay, well then I'll bring all the material together and I'll get everything ready for Solomon. So Solomon built it. That was destroyed. And then we know the second temple started with Zerubbabel and Joshua around 586 BC. Remember when they were sent out from Cyrus? They were given the decree, Nehemiah, to rebuild the city. Before they built the temple, they had to rebuild the city. They built the walls, and then they went and started to build the temple. Herod the Great is the temple that would have been standing in Jesus' time. Is just an expansion and a reverberation of the first temple. This was created in 1st century AD. This would have been the temple that Jesus would have saw. This was the temple that Jesus said will fall and not one stone will be unturned. And when did that happen? 70 AD. A stray arrow, went into the temple, burnt it all up, melted all the gold. They wanted to harvest all the gold, so they started flipping all the stones, literally turned every single stone to get all the melted gold from that fire. So Jesus' prediction came true. Now, there's something I want you to hang on to tonight, right? What did Jesus say about that temple? Not one stone would be left. Okay? I'm already ruining a tradition, aren't I? Is there some stones there today that people worship that say was part of the temple? Not according to Jesus. So this temple here is obviously the third temple. There's going to be a new temple. And once the peace treaty comes and all the wars and stuff that we believe is going to happen through Damascus cease to be a city and all the Ezekiel 38-39 wars, we believe that there will be some type of a peace treaty there, and then the Jews will be allowed to recreate their temple. They are in preparation of this and have been for a long time. They have what's called the Temple Institute, and you can go there. I think Heidi was there, and you can see the utensils that are there on display, but those utensils are actually there in preparation to be used in the temple. They have for years been trying to genetically find the correct genetics for the red heifer to start sacrifices again, and it's just a matter of time. The problem we have here, guys, is location, 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 right? Why aren't they building the temple now? What is the most popular reason as to why? Because there is a dome there, the Dome of the Rock. And if you look up there, tradition says that there's the temple of where it was in red and the Dome of the Rock. Dennis said, I got to stop pointing with my finger. That is where the Dome of the Rock is, okay? So it sits directly on the Holy of Holies. That is the traditional view. I say that because, as we see tonight, I don't agree with that. All right, Herculaneus, right, was a historian, and note what he said. The temple was nearly in the very center of the city. So we start to look at historical documents and start to look at things, and you kind of go, it doesn't quite line up, because where the Dome of the Rock is was not part of the old city. It wasn't there. So starting to raise questions as to where this is. And wouldn't it be great that if God kept this a secret? Why would God want to keep this a secret? Because this is exactly, going back to that other slide, that is exactly what would happen, right? They would claim it. But if God can keep it hidden until the appropriate time, and now it's like, okay, go build it. Hey, we got no problems. We can do this. All right? So this, if this was the case, if this is the case, and what I'm going to show you tonight, I'm going to show you that the temple is probably about 600 feet south of the Dome of the Rock, which would put it in the court of the Gentiles. Okay? Besides that, what did we say happened in 70 AD? It was destroyed, completely destroyed. Later on in the history of Jerusalem, Rome would come back and level the city and build a new city upon the old city. In fact, we have a guy named Josephus. Ever heard of him? Jewish historian. Wasn't a believer, but a Jewish historian. His quoting of the destruction of the temple, he said, no one would have even known that a temple was there. You wouldn't even know, right? All evidence was gone. So if we have a wall there that's still there, would Josephus be able to say this, a Jewish historian? No. Would that also contradict Jesus' words? Yeah, because there's still portions that haven't been toppled, right? So the city of David, if you look at it, this is a rendering. And this is not necessarily the correct rendering, by the way, because it has the temple at the very top right there. We're told it was in the center of the city. So we don't still quite know exactly where it is, or do we? Let's start looking at some clues. Let's start looking at some facts. What about water? Running water would be needed for a temple. In fact, you couldn't carry water. You couldn't have water stored because the water that needed to be involved with the purification of the washing of the priests and stuff needed to be what? Running water. Okay? It couldn't be still. And some people say, well, there was a spring up at the top of the hill, and they would walk up and they would clean themselves and then walk back. What's the problem with that? They got dirty again. Yeah, so no, I wouldn't think so. There's no running water in the Temple Mount. That Temple Mount area is the highest elevation. So now let's go back to Roman times, or back to that time, right? And it's like, how do we get stuff? I know, they got pump stations. They had cisterns, sure, but cisterns go downhill. They don't go uphill, okay? It was a high point. The Dome of the Rock is a high point. The Gihon Spring, which, by the way, King David and King Solomon were anointed, is just a little bit south of that. Josephus also tells us in the Antiquities of the Book of the Jews, Volume 8, that the Romans looked down on the temple. And it made the Jews mad because they were watching what was going on. And then they were allowed to put a cloth over. Caesar allowed them, whatever. But Josephus records this in this book, and he says, hey, the Romans can look down on us and see what we're doing. In fact, Josephus gives us a physical location of it in this very same book. Then we go to Ezekiel, and we have this is why I put these glasses in the drawer, Dennis. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, and it says, and he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Toward the east. For the front of the temple faced the east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. Now, which temple is Ezekiel talking about in 47? A future one. Third temple. Okay? So how is a spring of water, or how is stuff coming up from the Dome of the Rock when there's no spring there? Does that mean it can be there? If we follow the path of Josephus's layout, and it's a very descriptive, it's like four pages of the layout of where the city and everything was. It starts up here. The Valley of the Dung Gate goes down. Then it says it makes an eastward turn down here. Okay? And I'm sorry, these are blurry. It comes up to the aqueducts and goes all the way up to the Gihon Springs. We believe with this layout, the temple would be around this location. It should be the center of the city, or closer to the city, because actually the center would be all the way over here. What was this up here? Coming down. The Roman fort. It's where the Roman army was at. That is a higher elevation looking down. This is the exact layout of how they would have constructed a fort. Right now, the Dome of the Rock is up there. This is where they say the traditional temple is at. Right there is the government buildings of Pilate. That's where these were. All right. So if we take a look at that, here's a modern day map, or a little bit older. But here's the Dome of the Rock. Here's where Josephus's layout is. We put the temple right there. What did Ezekiel say the door faced? East. Do you know what's right down here? Gihon Springs, yep. Said the Gihon Springs were in the east. Okay? So, look at this view. At the cross, let's turn to Matthew 27. Let's pick it up in 32. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come out to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. And then they crucified him and divided his garments and casted lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They divide my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. Then they put over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him and wagged their heads, and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocked with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yield up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, that many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." All right. Hebrews tells us that he was crucified where? The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is east of the temple. The gate faced east. Golgotha is the southern summit of the Mount of Olives. The next a lot of these pictures I'm going to show you came from this guy named Bob Cornuke, who actually did a lot of research on the temple. He actually went there and took all these pictures that we're going to look at today personally. So I want to make sure we give credit to him. So, looking directly east, we go right there. This is the southern part of the Mount of Olives. Okay, there's a little town right here. We'll get to that in a second. If we take this artist's rendering, we see there's the temple facing east, straight out here to the hill, Golgotha. This right here would have led up to where Pilate and his headquarters were, and that's where all the Romans were. And now you can understand that they can look down into the temple and watch what was going on right there. Okay? Follows up with history, what Johesus said. So that little village over there is called Silwan Village. And this is what it looks like today. Okay? And right up towards this area is the upper part of the Mount of Olives. This is all the lower part of the Mount of Olives. If we go back in time, we'll look at another picture of this. But this is what's interesting. If you put in the Mount of Olives in Wikipedia, there's the Hebrew name of it, the Arabic name, Romanized name, all of this. But it is a mountain ridge in where? East Jerusalem. East of the adjacent to the old city, yeah? It is named for the olive groves that once covered its slope. Check it out. The southern part of the mount was the Silwan, I don't know what that is, Neopolis. It's village. Okay? And it's attributed to the elite of the ancient kingdom of Judah. Check this out. It gets better. The western slopes, so if this is facing east, this portion would be the western slopes, yeah? Tracking with me? If this is facing east, this is the western slopes. Okay? The western slopes, those facing Jerusalem, just in case you weren't sure, have been used as a Jewish cemetery for 3,000 years and holds approximately how many graves? Making it a central place in the Jewish tradition for cemeteries. Okay? Matthew 27. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. If you continue to read this, I read this as, from the split rocks, the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened. What happened? The veil was torn and the graves were open. So they were able to look across at the temple and see the veil torn, yeah? They'd be able to see right through the door. Okay? They'd be able to see that. They would be able to see the very ground they're standing on, things happening, earthquakes happening, rocks splitting. So if you go back into, I think this picture was taken around 1860, this is that same cliff that we looked at, which now has the homes on it. But guess what these guys are? If you look closely, they're tombs. We'll zoom in on one here in a second. But there they are. They're tombs. We'll get to some videos here in a second, but you can actually see this section right here where this is all chiseled rock and this right here is sheared rock. You can see it. Now, I know what you're thinking. What about the place of the skull? Because if you go to Jerusalem today, they've got this rock feature that kind of looks like a skull. It's on the northern part of the Mount of Olives, directly across from the Dome of the Rock. And if you go on a tour now, they take you there and they say, this is where Jesus was crucified. Yeah, Heidi? You see the place of the skull. They say it's the place of the skull because of the rock feature. The rock feature, okay? But if you take a look at it, the name comes from an Aramaic word, which means the round thing or the skull. But here's the truth of it. The exact location is not known. They have no idea. Jewish tradition, this will blow your mind, says the place of the skull is where Adam was buried because it's where man was introduced to death. Wouldn't that be crazy if it's the same spot? The first Adam dies and the second Adam dies in the very same spot. Wouldn't it be crazy that if the temple was proven to be the Garden of Eden? Now, some people believe it's in Babylon. But why wasn't he spiritually there? Because he was killed outside the meeting place. The new dwelling place, the new Jerusalem, will be in the physical location of where it's at. But a lot of times we believe that if we measure it out, that the Garden of Eden is somewhere over in Babylon. But again, all of this stuff, I don't know. It doesn't line up necessarily spiritual, but the place of the skull was the place where Adam was buried. And if you go over there, even in Jerusalem today, they believe the same thing. So on Golgotha, the place of the skull, which is in the northern part of the Mount of the Mount of Olives, they actually have a place there where they say this is where Adam died too. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the time. What time did he die? About the ninth hour, which is translated into 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock is the precise time that the lambs would have been offered. Now, if you look at this picture, again, this artist is rendering, you're up on the hill, Jesus is looking down at the lambs being sacrificed, the priests are looking up at the Lamb of God who's being sacrificed. Here we have kind of a zoomed up picture of this here. This is the modern picture when he goes back there and takes a picture. We'll get more better pictures here in a second. But you can actually see at this portion right here, see the chisel marks here, guys? There's no chisel marks. That would be where the shearing could happen. The cliff falls off. Here's a picture from him now in a backyard, and he tells a story because this is under Palestine control. And he tells a story that even the police don't go there. This is like a really bad neighborhood. And he said numerous times he tried to go in there and they threw rocks and things at him and his wife. And he finally had to bribe somebody with money to let him in their backyard so he could take these pictures. But in somebody's backyard, there's tombs. There's tombs. I mean, that's not natural. That is a body. And again, what does all this show? Chisels. What does this show? Shearing. Yeah. Could the shearing and the graves are now opened line up with Matthew? There's the shearing portion. Here's another angle of some different ones. They're using it for storing rebar in there. But that's where somebody would have lied, right? And again, you see the chiseling, and then here you see the shearing. It's pretty clear. Could you imagine this being your backyard? Well, they're empty because the body is decomposed, but what I am getting at is that lines up with what Matthew says happened, that the graves were opened up and the bodies came out of the graves when at the cross. And this is giving us evidence that that could have happened. And where is this at? Right there. Okay? So the Roman, now we get a different picture here. Here's the Roman fortress. Here's the city of David. Here's the temple looking straight across to this picture. And you guys can see the Gihon Springs is right about here. So you can see this is the same, if you know how to read topical maps, right? These are the cliffs. This is all the Mount of Olives right here. Okay? Isn't that a cool picture? We're taking the old image from 1860 and now putting it right there. The shearing is opening up all these tombs right here. All right, kind of putting a lot of this stuff together. So we go back to our Josephus layout. If we have the temple here-ish, there's the Gihon Springs. Right across there would be the cross. Look at this. Gihon Springs, City of David. This is the old city. I took this picture from Google Maps. Guess what this is right here? This is the Mount of Olives. Look at that. Look at that. Topically, does that fit the old drawing? Right in here is Silwan. There it is, guys. There it is. See the Mount of Olives? There's the Temple Mount now, or the Dome of the Rock, excuse me. Right here. Right here is where we believe the temple's at. This is a place where the temple is going to be rebuilt. It puts the temple to the south of the Dome of the Rock, and now we have no issues. Right? Everything kind of fits. But the traditional view is it has it on there. Then later, around in the 1980s, they came out with a view that it might have been to the north of it. But if you start looking at more of the what's there and the historical documents and even the Bible, it puts it to the south, which fits everything. So this places the temple to the south of the Dome of the Rock. And it would include the court of the Gentiles, which we're told here that it's given to them. He says, don't even worry about it. It's given to them. He's told only to measure the temple, the worshiping, and the worshipers. So this is 42 months. This is 3.5 years, or 1,280 days. So this is the midpoint of the 7 years. Now, why do I say that, right? So they build the temple, and we don't know if it's built before the rapture. We don't know if it's built after the rapture. We don't know if it's built right at the beginning, and they're able to, you know, even if it takes 3.5 years, and then they go to dedicate it, and then that's when the abomination of desolations happens. Jesus gives a time of when Jacob's trouble will happen. So remember, the tribulation is 7 years, okay? That's the tribulation for the world, but the specific time of tribulation for the Jews is the latter 3.5 years. That first 3.5 years, the Jews are in peace. Things are going okay, outside of the judgments that are happening to the world, the chaos that's happening, right? The four horsemen and all that stuff. In fact, part of the four horsemen, the very first one, is to reestablish the covenant with them. So it could be that's when they start. It could take them the 3.5 years to build it, right? And then right at the middle point of the dedication is when the abomination of desolations take place, and the Antichrist comes in and says, ha, you thought this was your temple, it's actually mine. And the Jews at that point are told to do what? Flee. So that latter 3.5 years, who's this belong to? The Gentiles, yeah. Because the Jews are gone. So, it's given to them for 42 months. 3.5 years. They're going to come back to it, but during this portion, you know, during this portion, they're gone. They're hiding, okay? I think he's Jewish. I think he's Jewish. And we'll come back to that, and I'll show you some proof of that, okay? And we're going to get into that when we get into chapter 12, when we start talking about the beasts. Now, remember, the Antichrist or the Satanic Trinity is three parts, right? It's the beast, which is Satan, okay? He takes the role of the Holy Spirit. He gives the power to the false prophet and the leader, okay? So you have the false prophet and you have the what we would call the Antichrist, the world leader, physically here, and then Satan is powering both of them, and that's what makes up the Trinity. Okay. So Satan's Trinity. So let me ask you this question. When we're told that abomination of desolations takes place, as spoken by Daniel the prophet, they're in the Holy of Holies. At least the false prophet is. So are they going to let a Gentile in the Holy of Holies? He comes as the Christ. Who is the Messiah? Jewish. So if I'm looking for a Jewish Messiah, a Gentile Messiah, those shoes don't fit. Right? Proof two. Proof three. Daniel says, in speaking of the Antichrist, he says he will not regard the capital G God of his fathers, nor the lowercase g's gods of this world, nor the desire of women. So it says the one true God, the God of his fathers, and that God is rendered the one true God of his fathers. So the one true God is the God of the Jews. Now, a lot of people get into, well, doesn't he come from the eastern portion, like Rome or whatever? But remember, Rome divided east and west. And the eastern portion of Rome actually lasted longer than the western portion, which we would know as Rome, technically, right? So when Rome was moved over to the Byzantine Empire in the east, where it lasted longer, he could come from there. But it doesn't really matter, right? But I think it is important that, you know, he's not going to be received as the Messiah if he's not Jewish. He's not going to be allowed in the Holy of Holies if he's not Jewish. So that right there, people get all, they're saying Trump's the Antichrist now, and I'm like, no. Yeah, every president, I think, is the Antichrist at some point. And the next greatest invention is the Mark of the Beast, and it's like, no, it's not. Right? The Mark of the Beast is his name, and you're pledging your allegiance to his name. You know what you're doing. You are putting that affiliation on you. Yes, I pledge of allegiance to him and I mark myself that way. It's not some thing you accidentally take or you go into the hospital and they insert a chip into you. That's not the mark of the beast, guys. You gotta know your Bible, right? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. So even when we go back to what we're talking about tonight, isn't it sad that, you know, you go over to the Holy Land, you're thinking you're having this really great experience going to all these touristic sites, and it's like, this wasn't even it. Now, we don't want that to take away from your experience, but it's like, then that wasn't it. You know, and I think that's by design. Because what have people done to those sites? They worship them. Not only that, but now they make it a place of commerce. And you go in there, and it's like, well, we're going through Golgotha, and we go through, you know, the Catholic Church rendering of this and this and this. And on your way out, by the way, it's through the gift shop. Yeah? Heidi's been there. Yeah? And then you got all these people having these moments in these places. And it's like, it's not about the places, and it never was. It's about him. Right? What a distraction by the enemy. What a distraction by the enemy. You go up and you touch it, and you're thinking, oh, I'm touching the rock that Jesus touched. You know, I could go out here and do the same thing because he created everything, guys. You know? I mean, I don't know. What's your experience? You got to go there. I didn't get to go. Yeah, and I don't want to. Well, yeah, and you're in the space. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you're able to put visual pictures with the things that are talked about. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And Heidi has a good point. I'm not saying it's not worthwhile. I think it's very worthwhile. It's God's chosen city. That's his land, right? I'm just saying don't get caught up in the commercialism of it, is what I'm saying, right? And if you go to a site, maybe it was the site, but the important thing is I don't go to the site to have the experience with God. I can have the experience with God, you know, outside of having to be at a physical site. Spot, and they can't even confirm that that's where it's at. Nobody can, right? And as I think about how God operates, this makes more sense to me, because it's like, yeah, it's not that. It's over here, and it's lying in wait, because God does not want us to worship these things, and that's what we do. There's worship going on there, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, everybody's got their stake in it, right? And it's interesting because you go to a lot of these sites and you got you know, the Catholic store, and you got the Mormon store, and you got the Baptist store, and they all got their little store for that site, you know? And then, you know, the Jews don't care because, you know, they're making all kinds of money, right? But it's just, you start to ask these questions, and the reason I wanted to bring it up tonight, because we come to a spot where we're talking about the rebuilding of the temple, and tradition and thought is, well, we can't because the Dome of the Rock is there, and all I'm telling you is, I don't think it's there. I don't think it's there. I think it's down here. And that was the whole purpose of tonight, was to show you God's got a secret. God's got a plan, you know. And it's also discouraging, too, because this is another thing, is we are so surface with our Bible reading, and we're just so surface with it, and we miss so much, right? The Bible is deep, and it's even deeper than you think. And every time you go into it, and the more you look at it, by me saying what I said tonight to you guys, should actually take you into a deeper position with God versus reading the touristic bulletins of things, right? That's the point of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can actually walk through Hezekiah's tunnel and look at the Gihon Springs. I'm not saying that that's not legit. You know, I'm not saying that at all. But it is hard for me to reckon the Wailing Wall when we have Jesus saying, every stone's unturned. We have Josephus, the historian, who saw it with his physical eyes, said, yeah, everything's wiped out. You wouldn't even recognize it. And they're worshiping that wall, you know. And we go up to that wall and we think, oh, it's just a wall. We're touching it and we're getting all caught up in the moment. And it's like, don't get caught up in touching a wall. Touch God. That's my point of it all. Okay. And they believe because that's the only remains of the temple, so that's where God's dwelling is, in that wall. That's what they believe. If you watch videos of the traditional rabbis, they believe, yeah, why are you doing this? Well, because the original temple isn't here anymore, and this is the closest thing to it, and so God's in these stones. There's video of it. Yeah, you can watch them. They interview them. Yeah. Yeah. That's why he specifically said, don't create images of me, because you start worshiping the image. Right? And I'm pretty sure he had blonde hair and blue eyes, because, you know. I got blue eyes. Yeah, so it says that he was created in such a way that nothing would desire him. He stacked the cards against him in every way, physically formed and even in stature and structure. And why was he born in a manger, right? Who's going to worship somebody that's born in a manger? If he was born in the biggest temple and he looked like David, people would be like, yeah, you're God. Look at you. They looked at Jesus and go, you are God? That's biblical, guys. And that's on purpose, so that we don't worship. He doesn't want you worshiping an image. He didn't want the accuser to go, well, of course they worshiped you. Look at you. You're a specimen. You look like Fabio. You know? That's the point of it all. And that kind of falls into what we're talking about. So that's a good point, Ruth, that we're falling into that same thing of, you know, artifacts and things. These things should prove the Bible, not cause us to worship them. But we all have that little bit of, man, this is cool. I'm touching this rock that was part of the temple. I'm, you know, we're in the tomb and we're like, Jesus laid here, you know? Yeah. No beard. So Dave, why would, I mean, that was a miracle. Do you believe it was a miracle? That the shroud just appeared? The image appeared? But here's the thing. I think it could have happened. And here's why. Because he's a deceiver. Satan's a deceiver. And why do these statues cry? Why do these statues cry? That's gotta be God. This image of Mary cries on the hour like Old Faithful. How the flowers she holds bloom. It's got to be God. That's a perfect point. Because what do they do with those things, Dennis? Yeah. So the enemy's going to play right into that, isn't he? Doesn't the enemy cause the image of the false Christ to come alive in the Holy of Holies and start talking? These guys are going to have, especially when we get closer to the end, right? These many false Christs are going to be empowered. They're going to be empowered by the enemy, and all kinds of miracles are going to be happening. And people are just going to fall right. Man, of course you're Jesus. Of course you're the Messiah. Look at the miracles you're doing. It's an act of God. You are God. And I'll tell you, this is another kind of discovery that I've kind of had over this week. When you look at the word rapture, it means a quick snatching out of and or an abduction. Okay? So you could, depending on what it's talking about, you know, so there's some snatching out of, and then there was some also, hey, let's just take you and put you over here, right? When we look at the rapture, what we believe is with the church, it is a snatching out of, and the thrust behind it is the snatching out of at the last moment, right? So this has kind of changed my perspective a little bit, because it kind of starts to make sense, especially with everything in Revelation that we've talked about. You know, there was times where I would believe, hey, the rapture could be happening, you know, 10, 20, 30 years before the tribulation. But if you take the heart of the word rapture, you're not in danger yet. And so right before we think, man, it can't get any worse than this, there's no more hope. We're going in. And what does that cause believers to do? Right? It could cause a lot of people to be like, I thought he was coming. Man, this ain't getting good. This is getting worse and worse and worse. And it's going to cause a falling away. Because only the true Christians who are pursuing righteousness, who are still, as the boat's going down, they're still hanging on. Everybody else is what? Jumping over the edge going, I got to save myself. Forget this Christian stuff. I got to deal with this. You see the picture? And then those hanging on the rope, he goes, let's go. As in the days of Noah, Enoch. Yeah? If you look at the names, the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, it spells it out. It even says in there, and they come down. Speaking of the fallen angels, Genesis chapter 6. It's all there. Prophecy is patterns. You're going to see it again. Jesus says it's going to be like the days of Noah. So if you want to know what the end's going to look like, let's study Genesis chapter 6. Let's get into that, right? Because that's the most clearest picture we have. Jesus says, yeah, it's like that. Okay, so what happened then? What was the conditions? What was going on? Right? And all flesh, except for the remnant, was corrupt. Man, I think. So that really pursues us or moves us to, man, I better be ready. And you've got to be, remember in chapters 2 and 3? What was the key word after every letter to every church? And the overcomers. Yeah? Remember we kept hitting that? Guys, it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. And what we're doing now is hopefully encouraging you. You got to hang on. You cannot let go of Jesus. You cannot. Because I believe a lot of people will. When it gets tough, the tough get going. When it gets tough, the Christians hang on tighter to Jesus. That's your take home for tonight, right? All right, what questions do we got? Go ahead and kill the audio so we can... Yeah, it's just a rendering, so, I mean, obviously...